Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you from the Commercial News, the weekend edition for Saturday and Sunday, March 14th and 15th. We'll start on the front page as always, work our way through our local news, see what's going on around our world and state, and wrap up with our sports, which also looks like a lot on the front page today. So we'll be hearing a little bit about sports today. Also, we will take a break midway through to see if there's any death notices that were received by Friday at 5. So let's get things started. We'll start with our first headline, Destination Danville. National tourney set for 33rd year at Mary Miller Gym. This comes to us from reporter Chad Dare. Dateline Danville. The sign at the top of the Mary Miller Center says it all, Destination Danville. For the 33rd consecutive year, Danville Area Community College is hosting the NJCAA Division II National Basketball Tournament. It's a fantastic years of hosting, but it can't be done without our volunteers and our community sponsors, says Brian Hensgen, the tournament director since 2019. Coaches talk about us through the year. They talk to the teams about Danville. We've actually gone through some rebranding of Destination Danville. We want this tournament to be here for a long time in the future. We want this community to always have this type of event. 20 teams, 450 student athletes, coaches, and administrators coming to Danville along with their families and fans to support them. Hensgen notes that those groups utilize our hotels and restaurants, and according to Rhonda Ellis, Executive Director and CEO of the Danville Convention and Visitors Bureau, tapping into the local businesses is a big focus. We are just exciting to show off Danville and showing the people that are coming here what we have, said Ellis, who's been a part of this tournament for 12 years, but this is her first at the executive director of the CVB. We want to make sure that we do everything to make the fans and teams feel welcomed and enjoy their week at the tournament. As far as its impact on the community, Ellis says this tournament definitely fills up the local hotels. I believe that our hotels are maxed out early in week, she said. I've heard in the past when parents and team supporters come here, they've had trouble getting into hotels because we use so many of the 20 teams of the tournament. As the week progresses, teams start to be eliminated, and there are some rooms that open up over the weekend. Both Ellis and Hensgen noted that interest in the 2026 tournament is at an all-time high with the host Danville Area Community College Jaguars and the Parkland College Cobras qualifying. While the two teams are making their 11th overall appearance in the NJCAA Division II tournament, this is the first time ever that the two rivals have both made it. The local community and the sponsors are more apt to be involved in this year's tournament with the hometown team and their rival just 40 minutes west of here playing for the title, Ellis said. There are also four teams making their first ever appearances in Danville and the NJCAA Division II tournament. Those teams are Palm Beach out of Florida, Mid-Michigan, Coastal Alabama North, and Rockland out of Maryland. We look forward every year to meeting new coaches and seeing their teams play, said Hensgen, noting there is also seven teams are back from last year's tournament. Kirkwood, the 2025 national champion, did not advance, but there are seven teams that have previously won the national tournament. Action begins at 9 a.m. on Monday morning. There are six games scheduled for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, while four games are on the schedule for Thursday and Saturday, with the title set for 7 p.m. Saturday night. There are no individual game tickets. A one-day pass, good for all games that day, is $20, while a week-long tournament pass is $100. We've got 32 games of basketball, and we're looking forward to seeing the action on the floor, Hensgen said. We also have some great halftime entertainment lined up as well. Fans should expect a fun environment. A related story on our front page, cleanup event set for NJCAA tournament. And this, too, comes to us from Chad Dare. This has already occurred. So as we're reading this, please realize that took place on Saturday the 14th, but I think it's exciting to learn the preparations that have been made for this very large tournament coming to our community this week. Company is coming, and the Keep Vermilion County Beautiful organization wants to show off our hometown. This Saturday on March 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., KVCB is organizing a cleanup event at Danville Area Community College. We hope that people come out and help, whether this is the whole time or just for 30 minutes, said Elizabeth Cannon, Executive Director for Keep Vermilion County Beautiful. The NJCAA National Tournament is a pretty event, and it's hosted right here at DAC. We have people coming into our town next week that have either never been here before or maybe they were here last year. We want them to have a good impression of our hometown, and that starts with us taking pride in how our community looks. Cannon said KVCB will provide trash grabbers, trash bags, buckets, gloves, and safety vests for all of the volunteers. We just want to get the out and pick up any trash, debris, or sticks, said Cannon, admitting she is out on the campus of DEC several times a week. We even have a group that paints over graffiti, if that's necessary. Anyone wishing to volunteer during the four-hour cleanup event started at 10 p.m. would visit the Pride Glow trailer at the KVCB website. And it is going, on the actual Pride Glow trailer they were had out there that was parked in the main DEC parking lot near the Technology Center. While the area around DEC and the Mary Miller Center are the main focus of this cleanup, Cannon is hopeful to expand their area. It just depends on how many volunteers show up. We would love to expand this cleanup along East Main Street if possible. Cannon also noted that Vermilion County residents can also help by cleaning areas around the houses and businesses. That's part of our Adopt a Spot program that we run all year. For more information on the program or Saturday's cleanup, visit their website at keepvermilioncountybeautiful.org, or Keep Vermilion County Beautiful is a 501(c) nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the community's environment through litter prevention, recycling, and beautification projects. I love that we are taking great pride in our community as we get ready for this tournament. In other local news, who's on the ballot? Vermilion County Sheriff candidates. This comes to us from reporter Christy Jankowski. Dateline Danville. There are three candidates running for the position of Vermilion County Sheriff as Pat Hartshorn, the current sheriff, retires after 36 years in the top spot. There are two Republican candidates, John Thompson and Mike Hartshorn, and one Democratic candidate, Hugh Sands. All three have experience in law enforcement. All three candidates were asked the same questions, and here are their responses. Why are you running? Hartshorn. I've worked for the Sheriff's Department for the last 24 years. I've served as a deputy in the patrol division. I've served as a sergeant shift level supervisor in the patrol division. And then I've served as captain of investigations, which is the second in command position for the Sheriff's Department. And I've been in that position for the last 11 years. So I've been participating in the daily decisions and guiding the department for the last 11 years. And I've been the only candidate who has any experience in the primary that has experience working for the Sheriff's Department. So I feel that is what makes me the most qualified candidate, and that's the reason why I'm running, to continue moving the department in the right direction. The same question, why are you running, to Sands. I decided to run for sheriff because I truly believe that it's a time for a change in culture, which will not only provide better service to the residents, but also give them a positive outlook on the department as a whole. And finally, why are you running, from Thompson? Saving our community has been a priority in my life. When Sheriff Pat Hartshorn announced his retirement, I felt now was the opportunity for me to fulfill a lifelong goal of running for Vermilion County Sheriff. I began my career in public service with volunteering for the Oakwood Kickapoo Fire Department for 20 years, the Oakwood Ambulance for 9 years, as well as past service with the Illinois Department of Corrections for 3 years, and in 1998 became serving as an officer with the Danville Police Department, as well as spent time with the Catlin and Oakwood Police Departments and experience with patrols, community-oriented policing, Criminal Investigation Division, the Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group, and I currently serve as the Vermilion County 911 Director. What are the biggest obstacles? Hartshorn. Our absolute biggest obstacle is the mental health crisis that's going on, not only in the community in general, but within the Vermilion County Jail for the inmates. So we're actively working with community partners, with cross points, with social service agencies, and trying to figure out how we can provide services to these individuals. We just found out here recently that if you have a pending felony case, you cannot be admitted to a locked psychiatric facility. Interesting. Yeah, that absolutely makes no sense, right? So the only way, if you have a pending felony, the only way is for you to be a court finding that you're not fit to stand trial, and then in order for you to be taken to a mental state health facility. But if you're just out on pretrial release, or if you're incarcerated but are having suicidal thoughts, that you cannot be admitted to a regular psychiatric facility. So that's our biggest problem, and our biggest obstacle right now is the mental health crisis. So finding a way to do that, finding resources again, and obviously it's going to take, the state to come up with mental health hospitals and a lot of other things to help this crisis, but providing assistance to the people on the street so that they don't end up in, and obviously everybody talks about mental illness is not a crime, and that's 100% true, it is not. But unfortunately, when people are mentally ill and have an episode, they do things that are crimes, and that's how they end up getting locked up. So yeah, we're basically running the largest mental health facility in the county at our county jail right now, and that's obviously not what it's built for, and we don't have the resources to continue that. So the same question for candidate Sands. For the public in general, as much transparency as possible. I'll be looking into general calls for service being dispatched on public frequencies once again. I also think hiring, promotions, and personnel usage need to be changed for the taxpayers to get their money's worth. With me being elected, I spent 22 years working and understanding jail operations at a county level, along with another 20 years of working as a police officer. And from candidate Thompson, answering the questions, what are the biggest obstacles? One of the biggest challenges facing the sheriff's office in Vermilion County is staffing and retention. Like many law enforcement agencies, recruiting and retaining qualified deputies and correctional officers has become increasingly difficult while the responsibilities of the office continue to grow. The sheriff's office is responsible for patrolling a large county, operating the jail, and courthouse security. Addressing the challenge requires strong leadership, continued training, and working closely with our law enforcement partners, social services, and mental health advisors to make the best use of available resources. Our next question, how will you build and maintain trust with the public? Hartshorn, we have a really good relationship with the public here right now, and we've built that over the years. We treat the public with respect, and part of that starts with having a professional appearance. And when we respond to the calls for service, we listen to the public and we react to their needs. We participate in several community events where we interact one-on-one, not necessarily in a position of authority over people, but just as a community member, interacting, showing off the equipment that we have, interacting with the children. We teach a DARE program to the 5th and 6th grade students so that we introduce them to a deputy sheriff at that age and they can form a relationship with them. And then as they get into high school, we also offer a DUI education program that we do for them. And that, again, kind of continues that relationship with a lot of times with the same DARE officer that they had in elementary school. And then obviously, as far as accountability, all of our officers wear body cameras. So you know if there's ever an incident where somebody has a complaint or a concern about something, all we have to do is go back and review the video and determine if there was an issue or not. Our next candidate, candidate Sands, how will you build and maintain trust with the public? First of all, this starts by example. I come from a working class family, so my ability to communicate with people no matter the person's background is essential. That will lead to deputies getting out and speaking to people, especially children, when time permits, and remind residents that there is more to our department than arresting those who break the law. And finally, a response from candidate Thompson, I will use the training and experience I gained during my assignments with the problem-oriented policing and community-oriented policing units to build trust between law enforcement and the community. A strong commitment, community-oriented policing requires a visible, approachable presence in neighborhoods, schools, businesses, and community events throughout both urban and rural areas of the county. I will actively engage residents, local leaders, faith-based organizations, and social service professionals in open dialogue. Trust grows when agencies act with transparency, fairness, and respect. What changes do you want to bring to the role? Hartshorn, I'm in a unique position here that I've been doing this job for 11 years, and by that I mean I've been assisting with running the department and running it in the sheriff's absence if he's away for any reason. So I agree with the direction the department is going. I don't think, you know, they would have continued to elect the sheriff if that wasn't the way they felt, that they wanted change from the professional standards that have been set. So I guess the short answer is I've been a part of leading this department for 11 years. There have been several changes that have been made, and I had input on those, and I will continue to make changes as they're appropriate. But you know, if you're asking right now, is there something that you see is wrong or needs to be changed immediately? The answer is no. And from candidate Sands, what changes do you want to bring to the role? I want to remove as much of the politics out of the office as I can. The decisions I would make if elected are not about votes, but from my heart and what I feel is the best for the residents in the department. If elected, there will never be just a sign stating Vermilion County Sheriff. The signs and propaganda will also include the Fraternal Order of Police, the union that represents the department, and that partnership will work hard at providing services for our communities. We should not only work for the residents of Vermilion County, but with them on the highest level of respect, trust, and transparency. And finally, from candidate Thompson, a sheriff should be more than just an administrator. The sheriff should be a practitioner of his craft, someone who understands the work because they've done it and can demonstrate that experience to the men and women serving under them. Leadership in law enforcement comes from experience, credibility, and setting the right example. When deputies and correctional officers see that their sheriff understands the challenges of the job and supports them with training, guidance, and accountability, it strengthens the entire organization and ultimately benefits the people he serves. What does the role of sheriff mean to you? Hartshorn, I've been interested in law enforcement since I was a child. I went to college for law enforcement and came back, and so I have an associate's degree from Danville Area Community College, and I have a bachelor's degree in law enforcement from Illinois State University. Candidate Sands, the role of sheriff means that even though it's an elected position, that the day one it's sworn in, it's time to work for the people. It's time to gain their respect and trust. This is a position of civil service for the communities, not a selfish personal need for power. I think many people in politics have forgotten that. I'm not a politician, nor do I want to be. I'm a person that devoted 22 plus years of putting my heart and my blue collar working ethic into my career to be the best I can be to serve those entrusted to me. And finally, from candidate Thompson, what does the role of sheriff mean to you? Being sheriff is about building trust and relationships with the public, with other law enforcement agencies, and within the sheriff's department itself. When the office is run with experience, transparency, and professionalism, it strengthens the team and ensures the best service for the people we serve. And those were comments from your three candidates running for county sheriff. We're already at the midpoint of our time together today. We have two obituaries to be shared. First, Gloria Ann Williams. Gloria Ann Williams of Danville passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday, March 11th. A celebration of life will be held at 4 p.m. on Sunday, March 15th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Memorials should be made to her favorite donkey rescue, Turning Point Donkey Rescue in Dansville, Michigan. And our second and final obituary of the day, Sharon Pierce. Sharon June Pierce, age 81 of Tilton, passed away on March 10th. Sharon's family would like to thank Hawthorne Inn and her nieces Kimmy Ann and Debbie for the wonderful care and love shown to Sharon over the past year as her health declined. A graveside service celebrating Sharon's life will take place at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, March 17th at Greenwood Cemetery in Tilton. Returning to local news, Animal Shelter mobilizes to save 20 chihuahuas. The Vermilion County Animal Shelter saved 20 chihuahua mixes when a local resident passed away recently. According to a release from Kate Sikdowski, the shelter programs manager at the Animal Shelter, the 20 chihuahuas were living in a one-bedroom apartment. Sikdowski, I think I know I'm saying that wrong and I apologize, we'll just call her Kate, said the incredible work of a family member and our animal control officer, staff, and interns, the dogs were quickly brought to safety. They were given intake exams, medical care, safe individual housing, started on behavior plans, and networked to rescue organizations. We are so grateful for our specialized rescue partners who took in every single one of these dogs within 5 short days, Kate said. They'll receive medical and behavioral care, decompression time, and the chance to find loving homes. Kate added, the situation also reminds us why spaying and neutering pets is important. Even in loving homes, when animals reproduce without limits, the number can quickly grow beyond what one person can manage. Although you may only have one pet, now is the time to spay or neuter at your veterinarian or using our low-cost service here at Vermilion at vercounty.org/animal shelter. To our community, thank you for supporting responsible pet ownership and for caring about animals who need a fresh start. If you'd like to support similar missions, please visit our website to learn more about adopting, fostering, volunteering, or donating. In more local news, 3 juveniles taken into custody after stabbing incident in Danville. 3 female juveniles were taken into custody on Thursday after a stabbing incident in the area of East Main and Griffin Streets. According to a Danville Police Department release, at approximately 3:53 p.m., a Danville police officer conducting a routine patrol in the areas of East Main and Griffin Streets observed multiple individuals engaged in an altercation in the roadway. Officers immediately intervened and initiated an investigation, during which it was determined that a 34-year-old female had sustained a stab wound during the incident. The victim was transported to an area hospital for treatment and is currently listed in stable condition. As a result of the investigation, three female juveniles were taken into custody. A 13-year-old was arrested for aggravated assault and mob action. A 14-year-old was arrested for aggravated battery, great bodily harm, and mob action, while a 17-year-old was arrested for aggravated battery, deadly weapon, and mob action. This incident remains under investigation. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact the Danville Police Department or submit an anonymous tip through Vermilion County Crime Stoppers online at vccrimestoppers.org. Here's an article that takes us to a little bit of a broader view. This is from the Illinois Police Department. Illinois State Police to conduct distracted driving enforcement patrols. This comes to us from a staff report, Dateline Pasodum. Illinois State Police Troop 7 Commander Heather Apperson announced the ISP will conduct distracted driving enforcement patrols in Champaign, Macon, and Vermilion counties during April. This program allows the Illinois State Police to focus on distracted driving laws to prevent traffic deaths and serious injury crashes. Distracted driving is doing another activity that takes the driver's attention away from driving. Distractions can increase a driver's risk of being in an accident. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, over 3,000 people annually are killed in crashes involving distracted driving. Reading a text message can take a driver's eye off the road for an average of 5 seconds. Nearly one in every 10 injury crashes involved a distracted driver. Officers will be on the lookout for drivers who disobey Illinois' distracted driving laws. All drivers are prohibited from reading, sending, or receiving text messages or communication video streaming and from browsing the internet. All drivers are prohibited from using handheld electronic communication devices. Drivers under the age of 18 are prohibited from using any cell phone, even hands-free. All drivers are prohibited from using any cell phone, even hands-free, while in school speed zones and work zones. School bus drivers are not permitted to use any type of cell phone, even hands-free. It is illegal to use a cell phone or take photos or videos on wireless devices when driving within 500 feet of an emergency scene, and this project is being funded through the Illinois Department of Transportation. Well, it's really going to be an exciting week in Danville with the NJCAA tourney, and here's an editorial that gives us even more information. This is NJCAA tourney means busy week. The Danville Area Community College's version of March Madness kicks into gear Monday, along with a number of their local events, to create one of the busiest weeks of the year. For the 33rd consecutive year, DAC, the Danville and Vermilion County, will serve as hosts for the National Junior College Athletic Association Men's Division II National Basketball Tournament. 20 teams from across the country will begin competition Monday, with the tournament ending with the championship game on March 21st. Included in this year's field will be the hometown Danville Area Community College Jaguars, along with its bitter rival, the Parkland College Cobras. DAC plays mid-Michigan at 6 p.m. Tuesday. In addition to the coaches, players, and staff members associated with each team, the tournament also attracts a good number of fans and often scouts from other college programs. Brian Hensgen, tournament director, in coordination with the City of Danville and the Danville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, will lead dozens of volunteers during the week to ensure the tournament runs smoothly. Local residents volunteer to serve as team hosts, ticket takers, hospitality room hosts, halftime entertainment assistants, and many other roles necessary to pull off such an event successfully. Sports fans should make plans to attend the NJCAA games. Tickets are $20 for daily passes that includes up to 6 games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then 4 games on Thursday and Saturday. An all-tournament pass is $100 for 6 days, and for information, visit the Visitors Bureau website at visitdanvillearea.com or the Jaguar box office at danvillejaguars.com. The NJCAA reaches out for bids to host the tournament, so it speaks well of Danville's efforts that the event will mark its 33rd year in Mary Miller Gymnasium on the DAC campus. One way to help the community make a good impression on the hundreds of visitors expected next week is for property owners to spruce up a bit before the team rolls in. Keep members of Keep Vermilion County Beautiful plan a cleanup day. We've already chatted about that in an earlier reading. In addition to a busy week of excellent basketball, visitors and local residents alike will be able to enjoy a number of other activities. The Vermilion County Museum at 116 Gilbert Street features the exhibit Journey to Freedom, the Illinois Underground Railroad through March 28th. The museum is open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, and admission is $5 for adults, with children 17 and younger free. The annual Maple Syrup Day will run 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday at the Forest Glen Preserve in Georgetown. Visitors can watch maple syrup being made with sap from the preserve's trees. It's free to watch and to participate in a hike. Breakfast featuring the syrup is $6 a person, with pints and quarts of syrup available for purchase. At 2 p.m. Sunday, the Red Mask Players will perform the play Radium Girls at Catherine Randolph Theater at 601 North Vermilion Street. Performances also are scheduled for 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Ticket information is available on the Red Mask website at redmaskplayers.com. The Fisher Theater offers visitors three special events next week as well. A Taste of Ireland, featuring Irish music and dancing, will be at 7:30 on Monday. Solstice, a winter circus with acrobats and other performers, will begin at 7 p.m. Friday. Tvergan Band, offering a unique blend of Mongolian and American music, will perform at 7 p.m. on March 21st. Information on ticket prices is available on Fisher's website, which is Fisher Theater, and that's theater, it's FISCHERTHEATRE.com. Tournament organizers, volunteers, and sponsors should be proud of their efforts to bring the NJCAA tournament to the community each year. Their work deserves applause from us all. Add in all of the extra attractions crowding the calendar, and the event becomes even more special. Make it a point to get out and enjoy all the community has to offer during the week ahead. Well, let's turn our attention to the sports, and you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to keep talking about those Jaguars. Jaguars sharpen up. Dak prepares for their first NJCAA game. This comes to us from reporter Marvin Holman. With the first game on its journey on the second day of the NJCAA Division II tournament, the Danville Area Community College men's basketball team is just sharpening things up in practices heading into the weekend. There is a different tone with more IQ stuff and getting better on what we do on both sides of the court, Dak head coach Dewan Goward said. We're paying attention to the details a little bit more and getting guys to understand that every possession counts. Setting better screens, talking a little more on defense, and just doing everything we do, but better. The team has been practicing since being selected as an at-large team for the tournament, and with a busy weekend ahead, players have noticed the practices have been needed. Our practices are tougher, and we're trying to make every possession count and matter now since it's playoff time, sophomore forward Antoine Franklin Jr. said. We're trying to win the best way we know how, but it starts in practice. We know that they are coming, and they want us to play at their best, and in our crib, they're going to want to beat us. We come into practice knowing that we have to play at a high level. It's a little more intensive, and we are trying to fix the little errors during the season so we can be ready for nationals, sophomore center Denzel Anatoe said. We know the strengths and weaknesses with each other, so we're trying to get better with every day. The Jaguars will take on mid-Michigan on Tuesday. The Lakers, 25-6, have five scorers that average over 10 points a game and average 94 points a game. They shoot 45% from the field and 34.5% from the three-point line. Our guys haven't seen anything on them. 8 days is too long before the game, and we won't start preparing for them until Saturday, Goward said. I've taken a look, and they like to shoot a lot of three balls. They shoot around 30 a game. They want to spread you out, so we have to do a good job of guarding the paint and getting to shooters on draws and kicks. Best wishes to the Jaguars as they prepare for the tournament. Kind of an overview on the schedule. On Monday, March 16th, on the first day that we've mentioned before, there's six different games on Monday. They start at 9 a.m. and the last game is at 6 p.m. Game one will be Fort Scott Community College versus Davidson Davy College at 9 a.m. Game two, Lansing Community College versus Arkansas State Mid-South at 11. Game three, Rockland Community College versus Coastal Alabama North at 1. Game four, Prince George's Community College versus Sunny Orange at 3. Game 5 will be Schoolcraft College versus Illinois Central Community College at 6. And then our first local competition, Game 6 on Monday, is Parkland College versus Johnson County Community College at 8 p.m. Well, I think I've made it clear it's a basketball week. Looks like the rest of our week is going to be kind of cold starting on Monday, windy with snow showers, cold on Tuesday, mostly sunny Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By Friday, we'll be back in the 60s. It's spring. Have a great week. This has been Terry Burdick reading to you from the Commercial News.